And have a Q&A sessions when further instructions will be provided. Should you need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. A replay of this call will be available for 1 week, and you can register your questions in the site. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that statements made during this conference call regarding Ultracargo's prospects, projections, and operational and financial goals are beliefs and assumptions of the company's management, as well as information currently available. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of the company and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn it over to Mr. Rodrigo Pizzinatto, who will begin the conference. Mr. Rodrigo, you may begin.
Good afternoon to everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I thank you for your interest. And as we announced in the announcement of the fourth quarter, we will promote specific events throughout this year to increase the exposure of our business, our strategies, and the executives. This is the third of the series. This is an in-depth discussion of the expansion opportunities, and Décio Almaran, the president of Ultracargo, will present these themes. And subsequently, we will have a Q&A session. So we expect a one-hour event, and with no further ado, I would like to give the floor to Décio so he can start his presentation.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Good afternoon to everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. And I will present the evolution of Ultracargo in the past year in terms of the growth of our installed capacity, profitability, and operations, and our ongoing expansions and future opportunities for growth. For those that are following the presentation, here our first slide. Today we have six terminals and operations in six different ports in Brazil. And we are building our seventh terminal in Novo Conde that will become operational in the first quarter of 2022. Two smaller terminals, a joint venture in Paranaguá and an operation in Rio de Janeiro for chemical products and vegetable oils. Santos is the biggest terminal with Aratu and Suape that are multi-purpose terminals that can deal with chemicals, ethanol oil, and here they operate mainly with fuel. Who was with us in Ultra Day last year can observe that there was a significant increase in railroad operation, 15,000 operations, and also road operations that went to 161,000. This is the result of the expansion in Santos and Itaqui and gain of productivity in a number of terminals, especially in Santos that I will mention. Now, our next slide. Here we restate our view of great opportunities of growth in our sector. It is mainly driven by the growth in light fuels and ethanol. Everybody knows the structure of byproducts in Brazil and also amongst region. You have a greater growth in demand in the north and the northeast and lower production. We believe that the privatization of refineries allows us to review logistical flows, and we will see a significant increase in cabotage that will benefit the port terminals. Some distributors and even refineries
can also be interested in hiring tankage to distribute their products in new markets and flexibility in distribution in order not to depend in the local refinery. Considering these factors and the growth of chemical products in other markets, we believe that we will have 55% of projected increase in installed capacity in Brazil over the next 15 years. Here in the next slide, we can see that 2017 to 2020, our growth in static capacity was 20%. At the end of last year, there was a total of 838,000 cubic meters being a leader in the sector. We ended the year of 2019, Santos, and then Itaqui, that was also responsible for this growth. Today, the second greatest player in the market in locality, and they have half of our capacity. This greatest geographic presence gives us some advantages. We can have lower volatility in market share of product movement because there are moments where the competition between Santos and Paraguaná ports have competition, and as we have good geographic presence, allows us to have a stable market share compared to others. A second advantage that we have is we have a better value proposition for our customers because many of them use this infrastructure throughout the Brazilian coast and greater scale to dilute our fixed costs. This is why this geographic position is important to us. Now, the next slide here, we start talking about the present until 2020. Well, we are in full expansion with two strategic projects because these are projects that are located in growth areas above Brazilian growth. Itaqui is an important port for imported products. It is closed. It is very similar to that of the Gulf of Mexico. And because of the connection with a number of railroads, it has increased its influence. I would say that today is the port that has greatest efficiency in import and distribution of fuel. We're also carrying out a project to increase our capacity in 43,000 cubic meters, totaling 110,000 cubic meters. For those that are following, here we have the white tanks are of the expansion. The first are in operation, and throughout the year, we will deliver this capacity, concluding this project at the end of the year. A second important project, Vila do Conde, is the port that will be the main entry of supply of the states of Pará and Amapá. And I believe that I want to highlight something that is important throughout my transition at the end of 2019. We discussed the main challenges of Ultracargo for the upcoming years. We agreed that within two important challenges to acquire the necessary competence, to acquire capital projects and to improve agility and productivity of the terminal to face the level of service that is demanded by your customers, especially fuel customers. Since the end of 2019, we started dealing with these matters, and we can see the benefits because of this. In the case of Vila do Conde and Itaqui, we plan to deliver these two projects 1 year before the original plan because of the efficiency and the expertise that the company had in the implementation of projects and a construction capex of Vila do Conde. We believe that we will have a capex 30% lower than what was planned. So for to the company, we've brought engineering competence that will help us to have greater profits in future projects. If you see the next slide, you see an air view of Vila do Conde under construction. This is of March, and you can see the progress we have made made, and we are reassured that we will start in the first quarter of next year unless there is an important impact because of the COVID, and perhaps we will have to suspend activity. But if this doesn't happen, we are highly reassured of this kickoff, and perhaps we will even anticipate things. Now, going forward, it's also important to say that this drop in CapEx did not bring any conception damage to the project. Vila do Conde is a terminal that will have the greatest level of automation. All of our transfer centers are 100% automated with remote activation, and bringing safety to the terminal. Now the truck loading platforms are automated, so the driver, when drives into the terminal, they are taken to the right platform. This platform will be prepared in order to load the product sold and where the driver can cargo under our can load under our supervision. We have to say how concerned we are with sustainability. This starts from the construction site. Many times when there are construction sites, you have to discard wood or metal. So now we want less weight, and for the operational stage, as a basic concept of our concepts, we want to capture rainwater. Of course, sometimes in times we have to carry out hydrostatic test, and we are going to use rainwater using less natural resources. Now, when we talk about the future, our growth doesn't stop here. We, in our management areas, we have an opportunity to grow 35% in capacity without considering additional gains of productivity. And the government has pointed out that there will be a number of bids and ports that we will also assess. Now, going back to the second subject of important competencies that I mentioned, we were talking about productivity and agility. We started this year, last year, two transformational programs in the company. One that is called SOL for the Ultracargo Operational System. But fortunately, this talks about our soul. We want to establish a new operation model in the company regarding the management of our terminal using the lean philosophy, with continuous hone of processes, review of waste, and the gain of productivity. And in parallel, we have the Conecta project that is the digital transformation. We are reviewing all our systems platforms from the automation layer, supervision systems, and control systems of the company in 2020 for you to see our gains. In the next slide, our SOL pilot was in Santos, and we were able in 1 year of project to drop 37% the average time of load of our trucks, 3 hours and 16 minutes in the fourth quarter of 2019 to 2 hours, 3 minutes in the fourth quarter of 2020. What does this mean? It means that we increased our loading capacity at 25% with no additional investment in assets. In 2019, we loaded 40,000 trailers, and in 2020, 50,000, and we didn't load more because there was a problem of demand. We know that because of the COVID and the lockdown and the restrictions of mobility in the peak, there was a drop here, but this is gain of profitability. So this is one of the main results that we captured in Santos. At the end of the year, we started the project in Itaqui. We see important improvements in terms of loading, as in the productivity per employee. This is a target, how much the employees deal with product, and there has been a 30% improvement in Itaqui. In the next slide, we can see the financial effect of these operational indicators in terms of cubic meters sold between 2019 and 2020. We grew 14%. And our movement in tons increased 16%. If we see the cost of this movement, when we see an absolute value, this slight growth of 2%, if we only consider the participation of results, it would have been a little bit negative in comparable base, but we see the cost of moved product, it's minus 9%. So the gains in productivity are reflected on our operational costs. Now, these two programs will be rolled out in all terminals between 2020 and 2021, and we believe that we will capture additional gains, improving the profit of the company. Now, going to the final part of my presentation, if we see in a consolidated fashion the evolution and the impact on the margin EBITDA of all of our initiative, there is a significant growth in the last 2 years, a result of capacity expansions and of gains of productivity, with a recurrent EBITDA margin going from 43% in 2019 and 51% last year. But we have to highlight another important indicator for us. It is relevant, that is EBITDA per cubic meter of capacity. How much do I generate per built tank? We ended the year with 391 reais, 26% above 2019. And here we combine all the effects, gain of productivity, gain in price, low drop of cost. This was generated due to installed capacity. For 2021, we expect an improvement in results between 4% and 3% of last year. And in the long run, we see more opportunities. We're not going to materialize all the gains of these projects in 2021, but when we compare to our peers in the world and in Brazil, we see that important players present EBITDA margins above ours. So if we are leaders in movement capacity, we have to pursue the leadership and profitability. And this journey is underway, as I will show you during our presentation. I would just like to thank all of you for your attention. I would like you to call Rodrigo so we can have a Q&A session to clarify any questions or any doubts that you may have. Thank you very much. Now we will initiate our Q&A session. Should you have a question, please press star one. If your question is answered, you can leave the queue pressing star two. The questions will be answered in order of arrival. And please take your phone off the hook so that it is easier to understand. There may be a slight delay because of telephone connections. We kindly request you to wait while we collect the questions. If you're participating through the webcast, press questions to the host. Our first question comes from Andrea Ching from Itaú.
Décio, Rodrigo, thank you very much for taking my question. I would like to better understand, as you're talking about capacity, how much of this capacity is contracted, how are you pricing your contracts, and what is the average term of these contracts? I don't only want to understand the current inventory of the contracts, but your prospect in the medium and long run. The second question is, the liquid bulk market is booming, and there are new players that are part of this movement, Raízen, Ipiranga.
have been investing in liquid bulk terminals. How do you see this? If you see an increase of capacity in the three or the next 3 or 5 years?
André, thank you very much for your question. Now, talking about contracted capacity pricing and average term, by and large, we are very criteria in a relevant expansion. We always talk to important players and have part of the contracted capacity before the investment. Itaqui is 100% contracted in the expansion. Vila do Conde is 50% contracted. So we are very criteria. I believe that pricing, like in any industry, because of more term and more volume, the customer will receive a differentiated price. I believe that this is the logic, and we want to align interest because we have to amortize this. Now, when you see our portfolio, we do have many long-term contracts with, over 7 years, and on a yearly basis, we have maturities of 10% and 15% of the portfolio. And when you renew it to terms between 5 and 10 years, and this gives us a stability in terms of revenue, and we can return. There's return on the expansion investments regarding liquid bulk. Well, the sector has presented good opportunities in the short term. Our view is a greater need of capacity. And because of the bids, and many times this attracts new players. When you talk about distributors and new players, our view is that the independent players can use more their capital because sometimes they can use their tank for others. So in the bid able, I could have better return of the asset of someone that has exclusive view because you can't maintain 100% of the tank full every day. But somebody that works multi-client should have a greater efficiency than the. And so we believe that our value proposition is higher. And this is why we have a number of distributors of customers because it makes sense for them to outsource it to us than to make investments. So by and large, these are the points, André. And if I could complement an aspect here, good afternoon. These contracts, many customers of Ultracargo want the guarantee of available capacity. And we have take-or-pay clauses in the contract that contributes to the stability of the company's result, regardless of the movement, because as a lot of this tankage has guaranteed availability to our customers, with this guaranteed availability, you have the guarantee of take or pay in the contract with Ultracargo. This is just a comment that I wanted to make. Okay, so if I could follow up this to better understand the result of Ultracargo have been growing consistently in the past 2 years. Now, the total volume that was invoiced, what would be the contracted volume and the short-term volume, just to better understand. Here, I can talk about 2020. This was a year where we benefited the spot opportunity.
Let's see, we had probably between 6 and 8% of spot opportunities, and we always privilege the long-term view to offer a better condition to our customer, but there is always a gain of productivity. When there is a gain of productivity, we go to the market. Yet last year, it was more or less 6 and 8% of our spot operations. Okay. Very clear. Thank you very much for your answers. Our next question from Luiz Carvalho, UBS Bank. Can you hear me? I have two questions. There was an important moment in Brazil because of the first refinery. Because, well, the ports are very close to these refineries. I believe that Ultra Group is interested in being close to other refineries. And how do you see this scenario? My second question would be, after talking to Fred, you've showed that the group didn't see a need to have 100% of the business like Ipiranga, Oxiteno, Ultracargo. And my question is, Brazil has a lack of infrastructure. Why don't you try to accelerate this growth? It's because there is a limitation of capital access of the company, or it's a limitation because of area or because of environmental licensing. What is the bottleneck? Thank you, Luiz. I will start answering. I spoke very quickly during the presentation, but in our sector, refinery privatization is very important. Number one, because the refinery privatization will give better regulations to the pricing in terms of fuels of Brazil. This will provide more stability to the importer in terms of planning. So this is the first positive point. The second point, it changes logistic flows. Today, Petrobras is responsible for supplying all Brazil, and the logistic and the price, the cost of each refinery, and the target market is seeing the best way possible. From the supply point of view, we will have new product dynamics throughout the coast and the government to facilitate the growth of the cabotage market. This creates additional flows according to supply and demand. So there is an opportunity here. We can see that a number of refineries may dispute markets in other regions, and they will need advanced tankage. So in the future, we may be able to offer services to a refinery that wants to place its product in another market. And also strategic tankage. Perhaps someone doesn't want to depend this refinery, and they will need tankages for bargaining power. So for the independent sector, that is our case, this movement is very positive, and we believe that there will be an increase of flows. So Rodrigo, perhaps he wants to elaborate on this. Well, Luiz, if we think about a long prospect, Ultracargo 5 years ago, 2016, 2017, invested around R$80 million. In 2021, announced $360 million in our CapEx plan. This shows how we want to make the best of the expansion opportunities as they materialize themselves, and we have followed the amount of opportunities, organic expansion, where there is available area in our terminals, and we can expand based on the concession area that we have. We have also opportunities in participating in the bids, like what the refinery privatization can bring us. If we believe that, and we believe that these opportunities are higher than our capacity to finance this, is, well, perhaps we will bring a partner or open our company to capital so that we don't miss these opportunities that are ahead of us. This is something that we have in mind. Thank you very much.
To pose a question, please press star one. Our next question from Vicente Falanga, Bradesco BBI.
Décio, Rodrigo, good afternoon, and thank you for taking our questions. I have two questions. Number one, you mentioned that Brazil has to increase its tankage capacity at 55% in 15 years. What type of liquid bulk will drive this need of tankage? What would be the most promising sector, fuel, or a little bit of everything? The second question, how much fossil fuels represent your capacity, and how do you see the change of the mix in the upcoming 20 years? If you're thinking about this, does it depend on tankage location or perhaps adaptations that will have to be carried out?
Thank you, Vicente, for your question. That is important. There is no doubt that the growth of 55% is connected to fuels, but also including the part of ethanol, also biofuels. This certainly is the main point, although we will see growth in chemical products and vegetable oils, but fuel is the main point. Now, fossil fuels. Today, our sales, or half of our sales comes from the fuel sector. We analyze and study the impacts of vehicles, and we believe that in the middle of the next decade, we will observe the emergence, and this demand will be serviced by gentrification. This impact will take place in a uniform fashion. If you see, part of our growth is based on the new borders, north and northeast, because great part of the demand of power is connected to agribusiness in the interiors for heavy machineries, fleets where electricity takes some time to arrive. A good part of this demand can be supplied by biofuels or ethanols, and our terminals today are totally flexible to deal with one product or the other. This can also be replaced by natural gas or hydrogen. These are things that we study. We are also following and seeing opportunities with alternative products that perhaps in the long term, if there is demand and it makes sense, we do have expertise to work with this time of operation. If there is a demand, well, we can think about this. We can think about investing in it.
Thank you very much.
Our next question from Rodrigo Almeida, Santander.
Good afternoon, Décio Rodrigo. Thank you for the presentation. I want to talk about growth. Have you seen opportunities of M&A? For example, if you have the opportunity to buy tankage from other players, would this be something that you would contemplate? I don't know. Thank you, Rodrigo. I think that today we have good growth opportunities in all the regions where we are present, and the opportunity is of organic growth in our own areas. We have 35% of growth potential of installed capacity. Now, organic growth is cheaper than M&A. We're always monitoring the market. If something emerges that makes sense strategically, we'll go for it. I believe that our growth pipeline is robust in terms of organic growth. If something emerges in the market, we will always analyze it, but we do not depend on this in order to execute the growth plan that we have for our plan. That is a very robust plan.
Thank you very much.
Our next question from Regis Cardoso, Credit Suisse.
Décio, Rodrigo, thank you for taking the questions. Two questions, one regarding Transpetro bid. I would like to know if this is an asset that makes sense for you, if there is any synergy with the company, or if you already have sufficient capacity in the Santos port, and this would not be a priority for you, because I believe that it is a big terminal. Could you elaborate and explain how this compares to your current capacity? Another question would be, in the long run, do you see something different from your operation if you contemplate in embarking in adjacent business of crude oil pipelines? I don't know. Anything that you would consider?
Regis, thank you very much for your question. Well, we always follow all the auctions, the government auctions. We saw Alibornia. It is one of the areas that presents a potential of not being held by Transpetro. I think it's 140,000 cubic meters. In the Santos port, we have 300,000 cubic meters. We have our own areas to expand in Santos. At the end of 2019, we bought a number of plots, so there is a growth potential in Santos in our own area with greater capacity than this opportunity. But we will always assess case by case. It is not necessary for a growth, but once again, we are going to assess and see if it makes sense. But we're always paying attention to these movements. Now, regarding other businesses, we always analyze this. We are trying to initiate an operation this year with maritime fuel, a tanker, something that where there is an opportunity. We are studying the pre-salt and natural gas, but GLP. So we have analyzed other businesses to grow and diversify the company, but always
being disciplined in terms of capital, and we don't want to depend on one customer so that our assets provide us good return. So yes, we are studying to diversify other products and other segments.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Regis.
We received a question. I'm going to read the question from José Luis Alqueires. With natural gas storage can be an excellent business for the electrical sector customer, and the gas bill affects this positively. How do you see this business? Thank you very much, Luis, for the question. I very briefly mentioned that this is a point that we're studying. The level of capital is above what we are used to investing, and it's a diversification sector that we analyze all additional production of natural gas that you will have because of pre-salt, understanding the routes and where this product is received in the coast. But yes, this could be a possible sector of diversification for the company.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, to pose questions, please press star one. I don't know if we have any further questions. Well, on our last slide of the presentation, here we placed our new brand. Ultracargo celebrates 55 years of existence, and today we are launching our new brand with a new design, a more modern design that shows the transformation of the company. This is a brand that talks about movement, connections, positive impact on society. For those that have the presentation today, you will be able to see the new Ultracargo brand, and now we are positioning ourselves strongly to grow, to be a reference of the sector.
Perfect.
I think we have another question here. Our next question from Regis Cardoso, Credit Suisse.
Okay, I'm back. An additional question. The recent events bring uncertainties regarding Petrobras's pricing practices and the investment in refining, and yesterday there was an excellent approval of RLAM. I know that Ultrapar is engaged with REFAP, and it would be positive to see other players participating. My question is, how do you see this risk that is something that we saw during the fourth quarter last year? So I believe that the domestic prices were below parity. In the short term, this doesn't have a strong operational impact because you have take or pay contract, but in the long term, I believe that the company could be exposed to this arbitrage. And thinking in the future, when we imagine that the refineries will use cabotage to reach further markets, but these further markets should be within an arbitrage.
situation. I don't know if you see this as a main risk or this is something that you do not visualize.
Regis, thank you very much for your question. Of course, there is a protection, a short-term protection because of the characteristic of our contract, but we cannot deny that there is a structural deficit of supply. We are concentrating our investments in the north and the northeast, so the project will get there. It can come through direct import. It can get there through cabotage, but Brazil needs imported products. So this is point number one. We have concentrated our investments where structural deficit is necessary. So we focus on these regions. This is how we protect the invested capital. Our terminals are multi-purpose. We move ethanol in the swap market for imports and exports. We import a lot of ethanol. The chemical sector is very strong this year. So as we have multi-purpose ports, provides a certain protection, but the structural deficit will remain. We do not believe in a long-term policy of a price of import. Well, perhaps we will have short-term noise, but the company has been highly resilient. You will see this when you receive the results of the first quarter. You will see how the company is resilient in a moment where the window of import is closed. So you can see how resilient we are because we're working in a number of products and in a number of geographies, and you will see the characteristic of our contracts. This is excellent. And regarding this deficit, Brazil has the capacity to produce 80% of byproducts. So there is a structural deficit of 20% in the market. And in addition of it being a structural deficit, it is higher when you think about the geography. The North and the Northeast have very little production. This cabotage dynamic, it is increases the deficit of the north and northeast. That is where Ultracargo has focused its investment, and also the dynamic of import and export. This is important for ethanol from the domestic market point of view, because when you sell gasoline, you have to mix ethanol. But the export dynamic, when a window in Brazil is closer for ethanol. So we see this dynamic in a structural way. Thank you very much. As we have no further questions, we will bring our Q&A session to an end. I would like to give the floor to Mr. Rodrigo Pizzinatto for his final comments. Thank you. Well, thank you very much for your attention, for your interest. This was the first event of this series. This year, we want to create with AMPM, with Abastece AI, to discuss S&G and targets. And we hope to give more visibility to the initiatives and the developments of our company. So have a very good afternoon and see you next time. Thank you very much. Siri Ultra conference call has come to an end. We please disconnect your lines and have a very good afternoon.